Father in heaven, we praise you for the praise that we can sing to you. We praise you for the experience of love, your love in our lives, for us, in us, and through us. Father, you are so loving and so great. Thank you, Father, for the songs of praise we could sing and for leading us through your servants here to prepare for us to continue in worship, to share in the body and the blood of Christ, so important to us, so vitally, ultimately, and singularly important and imperative in our lives. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. And we thank you that you can guide us and lead us in the direction that you want us to go individually and collectively, Father. Thank you for your providence in our life. You're always there for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, what a beautiful theological reality, Father, to be immersed in and to experience the transformation through and by the power of you as our God and our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do not lead us into temptation or allow us to be led into temptation and testing and trials, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father, we praise you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, grab a seat as we get ready to continue on. Hopefully, it's been a great year so far. It's kind of cool because if you see people around 11 o'clock or 10:30 on December 31st, you can say, hey, see you next year, right? Yeah. Didn't think about it that way, but yeah. One year is gone, a new has come. The New Year's Day, I can't remember the last time that the Lord's Day fell on a Sunday, on a New Year's Day, I should say, New Year's 1st, January 1st. I guess it did happen at one time, I just don't remember. Right? But I can't think of a better time than the Lord's Day for a new beginning. You know, a New Year's Day. My message today is basically entitled, He Makes All Things New. And of course, He being Jesus Christ, the Son, who in Him we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we have a unique relationship, a unique and incredibly powerful relationship that the rest of the world just stands back and really can't understand. And sometimes we can't understand it, but I'm grateful for that. You know, in Revelation, in chapter 21, if you want to look at a few scriptures here, prepare our hearts for communion. It'd be good to get my notes out here. Because if I go from memory, I will go a lot longer. And I know we have the little worshipers with us. We don't have VeggieTale style stuff here. They're eating prime rib with the adults, right? Sitting at the adult table. And you guys are doing a great job with that. You know, New Year's, the time of resolutions, right? I was talking to one blessed brother last night at a party. And he said, man, I'm resolved. I'm making a resolution, you know. And the way he said it, you know, I'm resolved. You know, it sounds like the song, I'm resolved no longer to linger, hovering around the pastry table, you know. That was his thing. I can't eat any of that stuff anymore. My wife is watching me. She's looking out of the corner of her eye. Sure enough, you know, hey. So I'm resolved no longer to linger, you know, around the pastry table, around the dessert table for our potlucks in 2017. At least that's what we got a good laugh out of that. You know, normally I hand out a sheet on resolutions. I'm not sure how those go for you, if you even do them. I think it's good to start a new year out thinking about some things and making some changes or applying yourself to make changes. I know one person came and said, man, there's like, you know, if I change all this stuff, I'm going to be exactly like Christ one time. After I cut it down to just a few items, I said, man, do you want to make any changes at all? And I said, well, maybe resolutions isn't a good way to put it. Maybe we should just make some some commitments to Jesus that we will allow him to transform us in some areas that only we know about better than anybody else, right? I know the things that I want changed in my life. I know the thinking I want changed. And maybe it's not just a change from east to west and extreme, but maybe more of a turning and an aligning with the way Jesus thinks, the way God thinks. Many times that's what it is. So I came up with something else from some of the stuff that I do, and it's just a sheet called Looking Back 2016, and it's a therapy sheet. So it doesn't mean that you're going through therapy, but it's a good way to look at it and say, wow, yeah, these are some good things to list. There's a few items, and just focus in on some specific items in 2016. If I can get some of the ushers to hand these out, I think there's enough for everybody here. And if you want to throw it in the, or ushers, or, you know, want to be ushers, or stand-in ushers, or... It's something to consider, you know, something to look at and consider looking back, because I believe the new year is a time. I look back on it, I go, man, there's so many resolutions that I broke. There are a few that I kept. I think it's a good habit, for me anyway, to read the scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 every single year. And I've done that for a lot of times, quite a few times. And it definitely hasn't hurt me to have that habit in my life. But I don't use that as my devotional time, that's just my reading time. So I think there's some certain habits that I think every believer, it will help you have that. Some prayer goals that you have in mind that say, I really don't pray a whole lot on a daily basis or throughout the day or whatever. And I think those are things as followers of Christ we should look at. Now there's some other ones, you know. There's no question I'm not at the weight that I committed to be at January 1, 2016. There's no question. I just looked in the mirror this morning before coming out, or this afternoon coming out. Well, there it is again. You know, I made the resolution, and I'm definitely not on the other extreme, but I'm definitely not where I wanted to be. It doesn't really matter anyway. Well, my doctor is going to tell me. I got an appointment with him on January 9th. And he told me I got some good, a lot of things I got to get done. Got to go under the hood and replace some parts that are worn out and modify some other ones and take some parts of, where the heck did that come from, you know? So, and therefore, I know what it means at that level to, you know, the outer person is wasting away, but the inner person is renewing. And that's the good thing, is that I could keep the kind of goals that allow me inwardly, the interior, to become more like Christ. Because anything that's going on inside of me is going to slip out of my lips or out of my behaviors. And the evil thoughts, he said in Matthew 15 and Mark 7, they come from within us. They're going to be there until we see him. So if you're like me, there's a lot of resolutions. So I try to keep it narrowed down. And this one right here, this page, when we look back at our lives, it's easy to gloss over. First page right there, page one, looking back, 2016. And this is just something to use and help people. Actually, this is a tool when someone says life stinks. Everything in my life stinks. I handed out another thing during Thanksgiving called the gratitude assessment. My mic? Does it work?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Just speak up. I can't lip read. Huh? What? How do you want me to adjust it? Okay, you know, we probably need to get a lapel mic, okay? How about resolution? Let's get resolution in that one right there. But you know, guys, we're family, so if you can't hear me, just say, hey, Tim, I can't hear you. And it's okay, it's all good, you know? But please don't lip read. I'm trying to get resolutions here. I wanna, you know, I got that human nature part of me that's called impatience and stress and confusion and insecurity going, you know, for a fact, I'm gonna throw an interception, go, what? Or get sacked like the Cowboys. Anyway, hey, man, we're resolving, right? We're going for forgiveness and no bitter roots here. They lost me a lot of points today, those Cowboys. Got it out of my system. Now I'm ready to share communion. Let's close our Bibles and pray. Now, but looking back is a tool here that you go back on your life, and I'm not saying that's where you're at. Life stinks, but many times when we look back, we stay back. We stay in the past, and that's, I'm looking at some scriptures. We'll look at some scriptures in a little bit to help us with that. There's no way you can forget the things that you can't forget. And there's nowhere in the scripture that says God forgets about our past sins. He doesn't forget about our past sins. He chooses not to remember them and hold them against us. And that's a good practice to be. I remember a lot of stuff. Now, other things I don't remember. Some things I look back, I say, I think you're attributing to me what someone else did to you, but amen, I'm sorry for that too. You know what I'm saying? That's the best way to go with that. But we remember, right? We especially remember what someone has done to us. And we try to pathologize. What I'm saying that is make it more of a medical kind of thing instead of a thing that really God can change. It's a spiritual thing. So anyway, this is one of those things where you don't have a lot of things to look at right there. We look back at our lives. It's easy to gloss over all the things that have gone well. It's natural for many of us to downplay our accomplishments, instead focus on mistakes. In this exercise, you'll be asked to look back with a focus on all the things that went right. Now, if you already gloss over things and you think everything is right in your life, do the opposite of that advice right there, right? This is not something so that we could look back in 2016 and say, man, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's more awesome than me, you know? So this tool could backfire on you, especially if you tend to take a lot of selfies, you know, and put them on Facebook. This is not to build that up so you put more on there, right? And if you do get that six pack, this is not for you to go, well, I got a six pack. You get trouble nowadays, especially if you're in the public, you know, domain. Choose a time frame to reflect on. For example, use a time period this past year, 2016, or a life event. And you can look at all those things and fill them out. Now, the next page is looking forward. Because you're not going to forget, you're just going to choose, I'm not going to remember that stuff, because that makes me feel really bad, and it's resolved. And if it's not resolved, then I got to go back and I got to make sure today that I resolve it so that I go into 2017, I'm not dragging it with me. And looking forward, 2017, there's evidence that imagining your best possible self can help to improve optimism, motivation for change. In this exercise, you'll be asked to look forward and imagine an ideal future for yourself. Like, what kind of things do you want to see in 2017? Now, as believers, let's go to Psalm Revelation, verse 21. Because I think, and of course, if you want to throw this away or file it away, whatever you want to do, it's yours. If it's a help to help you head into the new year. We have 52 more Sundays ahead of us, and just keep track of these things right here. Because we're all over the place, right? In different places, right? I mean, some are. And please don't take offense if you put selfies or anything like that. I'm just joking. If that's your thing, that's your thing. I'm not judging that. I've tried selfies. I don't like the way I look at selfies. And even other pictures, I'm going, man, don't take a picture. I don't like it. Put this picture from 1985. Now, this is a good one right here. Use that one as my profile page. Right, Al? Right, Randy? Okay, 1968. Whatever year it works, right? There's some good things to remember. There's good things to hold on to and remember. Because when we're made new bodies, and new heavens and new earth, and resurrected new bodies, I don't think it's going to be this one right here, this model. This late model right here. I think it's going to be 1968 or 1978 or 1981. That's what I believe. It would not be heaven otherwise, I don't think. So that's what I'm thinking about. But what makes all this possible? You know, we celebrate Christmas time. We celebrate Advent. And of course, Advent ends December 25th, but a Christmas time holiday continues in the Christian world, and it's called the 12 days of Christmas, and head into Epiphany, which is all about the incarnation and celebrating the incarnation. During that time, some historians believed, and we don't know for sure, but they believed the Magi showed up in that 12 days, somewhere either the 12th day or somewhere in between, and just gave glory to God that, wow, this is God in a baby, in a little baby's body. It's about the incarnation, and The thing that we believe as followers of Christ is that God actually lived in a human body, but was actually 100% human as well. Wasn't an extraterrestrial taken over. God did it this way so he could walk and live among us. Then he offered that body at about 30 years old in prime, right? Calculating in prime, 30-year-old body, I'll take that, right? He offered it on a cross. He offered it and he shed his blood. Then he resurrected that body into an immortal body, an indestructible body. And he says, that's going to happen to you too. Do you believe that? That's a fantastic story. But that's what the incarnation means. Because he said, he went back up into heaven, he's waiting. And he said, then I make all things new. And in that process, day by day by day, he makes all things new. That's God's intention. That's Jesus' intention. You know, Dallas Willard wrote this that I thought was really cool about the incarnation. And that's one of the major things we celebrate when we share in communion. It says the incarnation is about seeing the greatness of Jesus Christ. The little baby is just the very beginning of the incarnation. The incarnation is a cosmic event that touches the whole universe. The incarnation is about Christ coming into the world of matter, flesh matter, and bringing a wonderful and ravishing reconciliation between humans and their God. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that cool? I found that. I said, yeah, that's why we celebrate. That's why we celebrate this. That's why last night many of us met and celebrated last part of this in 2016 and brought in that new year. Last day of the year, breaking bread, drinking of the blood of the new covenant, and today doing the same thing, the Lord's Day. I said, that's cool, Lord. That's a cool thing. Cap it off, begin again, brand new. What's 2017 going to look like for you in December 31st, December 1, November 1? I think as we continue to live and continue to give ourselves to this whole idea of incarnation, of Christ in us, the hope of glory, of being transformed by the renewing of our mind, of being conformed to the likeness of Christ, all those powerful scriptures, it really will say it all, but it's got to be done on a daily basis. And even Paul told Timothy, physical exercise is good for some things. But training yourself in godliness is good for all things, the physical and the eternal. And I think that's what transformation is all about. Here's a new beginning. This is a new beginning type of passage in Revelation 21, beginning of verse 1. The Apostle John sees the future, sees into what we're all looking forward to. He said, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. That's what Jesus told John in this vision. After that great description, and that's all I need to know what the afterlife is going to look like. If I could get that, that's all I need. Now, this is what God uses, the kind of language just to kind of touch our hearts, just to try to touch our imaginations and say, this is what you live for every single day. Not to earn this, but to know that no matter how difficult it gets, this is what's waiting for you. If you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you desire for him to be formed in you more than anything else, this is what you have. If it isn't, then you're going to be really awkward when this happens. You're going to feel really awkward in that fellowship, right? I don't want to feel awkward. Maybe feel like a rookie, but not completely awkward, right? Man, this is like... But I like what he said right here in the present tense. to John around the end of the last 25 years of the first century. In verse 5, "Behold, I am making all things new." Right then, from the day that Jesus stepped on the face of the planet, he was making all things new. The cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the promise of the return. He says, "I'm making all things new right now. I'm making them new right now. I'm part of all things, right? You're part of all things. The only thing is, I know, is I got to participate with it. I got to participate with the Lord. I just can't sit back and watch NFL Sunday every day, or college football, or novellas, or Hallmark movies every day and not do anything, right? I've got to participate with him, in him making all things new each and every day. That's what the Christian life is all about. He makes all things new. Well, one of the things that I've shared before, what stops us from him making all things new in me in 2016? Because there are things we look back and say, I'm still struggling here, I'm this and that and this, and this relationship is all out of kilter, and I've not surrendered that, and I have some problems even with God. Well, let's go over and look at the Apostle Paul in Philippians in chapter 3. And this is one of the scriptures that we use with the old. And if you feel like that's what you need, a resolution list, then shake the dust off of 2016 and just write 2017 and go for it. You know, use that one too, if you still have it. Because those things are good stuff, good things as well. But this passage is used a lot in it. And I think about the Apostle Paul as he's in prison. John saw that vision that he just described about what's awaiting us in prison as well, on the island of Patmos. In Philippians, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, or actually verse 12, down through verse 14, he says, "Not that I've already obtained it, or have already become completed or perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul said, here's my Christian life. I'm in prison. Not many years after this, he would give his life for Christ. But he said, this is how I live my life. This is my passion. This is my pursuit. I want to be completed. I have not become completed yet, or perfect, or matured in Christ. So I press on, and I lay hold of that which was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. So that word forgetting is not the same word as amnesia. It's the kind of word that says, I choose not to remember or to be a victim of what's behind me. And isn't that many times what keeps us from going forward, is because we can't let go of whatever bad things have happened behind us? And I understand that's hard. That's a challenging thing. But that's exactly what Christ came to do living in us, is to heal all of that. It'll never take it away. It'll never take you back into time and say, this never happened. But in fact, because it happened, I'm a stronger person. Because there's things in my life that I look at and say, God, thank you. You're bigger in my life than the bad thing that happened to me as a kid or as a youth. Thank you, God, that you got me through this thing. Oh, there's still some hurt. There's still some negative things. I just choose not to dwell on it all that much. And I think that's really what Paul is saying, is that we make use, proper use, spiritual use of memory. And we choose not to be defined as a failure by those negative things. Now let's talk about that. What did you fail at in 2016? Any failures? Any?
Wow, man, really good with that one. That's a real
Thank God for a new year, you know. Let's go on in. And I think we got to choose not to allow those to define us going into the new year, but we do need to resolve if they need to be resolved. But if they're already taken care of, but you still go, man, I can't believe it. You got to just let it go. It's God's not sitting up there going, you have a conviction about it yet? I think God probably saying, why do you keep talking about that. That's in the past. Strain forward. Learn from it and strain forward, because that's really what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
As we have said goodbye to 2016 and hello to 2017, we pause at this time to take inventory of our life, a moment of reflection, of self-assessment of our life. We look at our failure and our successes, and we thank God for both of them. These are thoughts that I wrote, and I can't read my own writing too fast. So I'm trying to paraphrase here. I'm saying, that's hieroglyphic right there. Should have just kept it here instead of putting it on paper. But I had to catch that thought, real quickly. You know, we pledge to learn from our success and our failure and move toward a better future in 2017. Everyone wants to be better, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to love more fully, right? To be kind more fully, to be more Christ-like. And that's what we do. But we make sure that they are resolved. In Colossians 3 and verse 13, this is one that's really important. Colossians 3, starting out in verse 12, actually. It says, so as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a new heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Wow. Starts out by talking about putting on the clothing of Christ, the clothing of that incarnation, that whole idea. A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, long-suffering, love is patient, love is kind. That's the language of 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 and following. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so should you also. And I think and what I found is that if I go in here with a commitment, God, and a prayer, please help me to have this kind of heart. Anytime I'm in conflict with somebody, whether it's from my wife, most of the time I'm wrong when we have to sit down. I agree to that. You know, I can humble myself, but I can't make myself humble. It's impossible to make myself humble. That's why God, be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Now I can change my mind and say, man, that's a lot of, you're really prideful and stubborn. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind. God, make me humble without having to take a leg, right?
Yeah.
Without having to take an arm or leg or paralysis or quadriplegia, whatever, Lord, make me humble like your son. And if you pray for those kind of things, usually when you go into conflict, you can resolve them pretty quickly. And if the other person says, good, I'm glad you can see what a loser you are and how awesome and Christ-like I am, that's a different level, right? But you can still say, I forgive you, because Christ said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. God has his hand, because in Philippians chapter 3, if you read the rest of it, he says, whoever has a different attitude than the attitude of Christ, God will make that clear to them. Well, what are you going to do, Lord? None of your business, Tim. You move forward. Don't let them be the reason that you are not allowing me to make all things new inside of you. Holding grudges. Grudges destroy everything. They destroy every relationship. They even destroy having fun together. Grudges destroy marriages, destroy family relationships. They destroy churches, small group ministries, neighborhoods, countries. So I think, just like choosing not to dwell on failures or successes in a negative, unchristlike way, choose to surrender all grudges to the cross of Jesus Christ, to the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and say, help me to move forward. Now, there's some people say, I want nothing to do with you. You could still deal with your grudge. I can still deal with my grudge. Make me humble the way Christ was humble. Here he is hanging on the cross, with an arsenal, a military, like the universe has never seen. six legions of angels available.
Yeah.
And that's just the first wave, more than likely.
Yeah.
Father, forgive them. Father, I love that's humility personified. That's why in 2016 we studied the I Will, which is really centered around have the same attitude in yourself that was in Christ. That's, Lord, I need Holy Spirit. I want it. Please help me to do it without having to take too much action on me. Because it's only my pride that holds on to grudges. But man, I can hold on to them. I realize that when I start looking at it, on the surface I say, no, I don't hold on to grudges. But then something happens, a call or a letter or something goes on, or you turn back your Facebook page, you go, okay, all right, I'm back to square one, turn it off, deactivate it again, you know what I'm saying? Grudges are terrible, they're Satan's tool. Surrender all grudges, choose to do that. Why? Well, because Christ forgave you. He holds no grudges. When Christ came, as we've been studying Mark, when Yahweh came to Zion, he didn't come back in saying, you guys have not changed. I talked to you guys 750 years ago through Isaiah, and you've not changed. Now, I've got a bone to pick with you. For the last 750 years, I've been seeing the same hypocrisy. Now, Christ did say that, right? He did say, Isaiah was right about you, you hypocrites, to the religious leaders. But in terms of the nation as a whole, he came back saying, I've come back to make all things new. That's cool. Can you imagine if God holds a grudge against you? Against me? I just think about some of the things from the 1970s that I did. Are you really, seriously, God, you forgave me of this? Why don't I feel it? Because you're not humble. But once I get to that point, I say, thank you, God, and the tears just start coming. And Tim, quit thinking about 1978. Think about 2016, December 31st. That's where we're living right now. And start thinking now, in the present, January 1, 2017. Don't hold grudges. God doesn't hold grudges against us. That's a process. I understand it's not a magic prescription. Read a scripture, meditate, pray on it. Oh, no grudges. It's a process, and it's a process of experiencing God's grace and allowing His grace to teach us to say no to the things that Satan wants and say yes to the things that a loving, bleeding, sacrificing Savior wants and desires. In Romans chapter 12, and this goes along with it as well, it's I quoted a lot of the beginning of it, and I want to. In fact, we'll come back to this one last. I'm going to flip this order. Galatians chapter 5, and then we're rounding out. We're getting ready to commune together, and all this, these thoughts, and sermonizing here is meant to go on this page. However, it relates to you if you want to work this particular system right here. In Galatians chapter 5, and verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes to another church, the churches of Galatia, the province of Galatia. He said, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Christ has freed us. He's freed us from the bondage of sin, from the tendency for sin to get in our life, to wedge into our life, and for it to become, like a lot of pathologizing says, an addiction. He's broken that power. He's come to dwell in us so that we won't allow that power to take over. He's freed us judicially. He has said, forgiveness is yours completely and thoroughly. Yesterday, today, and into the future, into Revelation 21. He says, you are free. And really what he's talking to the Galatians right there, you're free from following a list of rules, even if they're God's rules, like the way the law of Moses was applied to the Israelites, to the Jews of that time. And they were trying to infiltrate the churches in Galatia and start invading their freedom. You see, because rules kill. The use of the law that way kills. The law of God was simply to show how much we desperately need God and how sinful we can be, even on our good days. The most religious that Jesus came to, man, he had some hard words for them. And they killed him for those hard words. So he says, I've given you a freedom that's just blow away. But he said, in your freedom, you were called to freedom, do not turn that freedom into an opportunity for the sinful nature, for the flesh, for that carnal nature. When he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about the power for us to choose to do things. And we naturally do the wrong things, right? That's why Paul said later on in Romans 7, he says, the things I think about, the things I don't want to do, I do those. It's a battle back and forth. And we see it right here described. He says, the Holy Spirit lives in you and combats you. I can't think of one time that I've not sinned in 2016 that I didn't think before I did it. How about you? Yeah. And even the ones that come back seasonally, or I thought about it. And either I resisted it, or too many times I just said, you know what, I'm saved by grace, I'm going to repent tomorrow. I'm going to repent in about 20 minutes. I'm going to, you know, whatever it is. That's the battle that we fight right there. Now you go, okay, you got to start all over again. No, you need to get back in the fight and understand that Satan doesn't sleep. Satan doesn't rest. Our sin nature doesn't rest. We have a habitual nature to do some things. And I think that this passage, when I look at it, it's a choice. If I'm led by the Spirit, then I'm not going to have things that hold me in bondage. And if I do, it doesn't mean I'm a lesser Christian. It just means I'm not walking according to the Spirit. Because the Spirit inspired the Scriptures and says there are people that you can have in your life that you confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you experience the healing. Whether it's a physical malady or physical and psychological malady called emotional pain, guilt. Either way, he says, work on those kind of things. Get right with God in that way. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Say no more times than saying yes, or how do I get in this bind right here? We're in a tough spot. I'm in a tough spot right now. No, we sang that song, that beautiful song, about wandering, how easy it is to wander, our hearts to drift from the God we love. That's why I think Revelation 21 is so appealing to me. It's because I don't think that nature is going to exist in me anymore.
Yeah.
That's good news. That's hallelujah, Jesus. Yeah. I believe in you. Yeah. Everything you said about yourself, I believe it. Yeah. Now help my unbelief. And I think I got to choose, and we've got to choose, to experience freedom from chronic sins, besetting sins, sins that come and just take our joy away, and get us guilty and stuff, is get the help that you need. And of course, this sheet will help you think through that. But don't find somebody who's a worse sinner to you and bind them with your sin. That's what I see what happens sometimes, people. Why did you confess that to him?
Well, he's a listener.
Yeah, he's also a bigger sinner than you. And now he's gone. And then we look for safe places many times, and we put burdens on younger Christians or people that may not even be close Christians. And they leave out of discouragement or because, wow, this older. In other words, Satan does some weird things with sin. I know this, I confess my sins to people who fear God, who love God, who respect God, and confess their sins too. But they don't confess them to Cliff. They confess them to me. They don't confess mine to Cliff. In other words, you know, And there's a power that they realize if we connect to one another. Now, I'm not calling out Cliff. He's just on the front row. And it's tough for Cliff to get a bad attitude toward anybody. He's got a heart of gold, man. And And I think that's in 2016. Choose, as we share in communion, as we think about the price, is don't let anything that has you in fear, has you in bondage, and you're waiting for a safe place or a safe person. Everybody who you know, who you believe, they're heading to Revelation 21:5. They'll be there. That's the one I'm going to confess and talk about, especially if something's ripping me and holding me. Because sin doesn't happen all of a sudden. When people leave, you wonder, you see people in 2016, they leave. They didn't leave because they were walking around like the Apostle Paul or one of the apostles. They left like anybody else leaves. And we live in an American society of religion where you can sit in the back pew of 10,000 people and think that you're really worshiping when you're not. Because you refuse to hold a sound doctrine here. That's a problem. If you hear scriptures, oh, I don't like that scripture, whatever it is. Usually it's because of sin. It always is. It's that way with me, it's with you, it's with all of us. And we gotta let that go. Surrender all grudges. Don't remember failures or successes other than to have the attitude of Christ in thinking about them. And experience, choose to experience that freedom, that I will not be held in bondage by anything of the sin nature. That's what Revelation, I mean Romans chapter 12, as we'll close out there, is all about. We're so free. Yeah. We're such a free people in God, you know. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. We just got to make sure that we're in Christ Jesus. That's my part, right? Yeah. We like that passage, nothing can separate me from the love of God. But then he ends in Christ, that's found in Christ Jesus. And I've got to make sure that I remain in Christ Jesus. If I find myself saying, well, I get in Christ Jesus every Lord's Day, then you're not in Christ Jesus. If you constantly sing, you got to take the Lord with you, and you really mean it, you got to take the Lord with you. And I like the song, I'm not putting it down, I like it. But think about just the awesomeness of God. Omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, knows everything. Omnipresent, he's everywhere. And here we are, little pipsqueaks, sinners. Even when we're righteous and doing good, we got some, you know. We got to always maintain that humility. You got to take the Lord with you, brothers and sisters, everywhere you go, on the road. You got to take, it's almost like, come on, Rex, you can go with me to go get the mail. Come on, I got big business I got to conduct today. I got to go to work, and Lord, I want you to come with me today. I'm going to let you ride along with me, Lord. The thing about an omnipresent God is that he's already there before we get there. Come on, Lord, come on with me. Now, I understand. I sing that more, Lord, you got to take the Lord with you. Knowing, Lord, you know what I mean right there. It says, I've got to be cognizant that you're always there with me. Because if I believe that, there's going to be a lot less of these failures and grudges and all this other stuff going on here, right? Now again, I'm not against that song, but just theologically, it just doesn't fit with I'm not omnipresent God. But it does fit for us to remember that he's already there. You got to take the Lord with you, children, everywhere you go. And God's saying, where you at? I'm already there. Amen. Lord, you're right. What am I talking about? I just like to feel good about myself, you know? And the last one, Romans chapter 12, and I think this is the one where helps us to be mission-minded as well as just really seeing the importance of our relationships. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in, actually verse 18 is the focus, but let's start in verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Wow, that lost all of us right there, huh? Yeah. See what I'm saying? We're sinners, right? Yeah. And you might say, well, if someone badmouths your team and you start low blow badmouthing their team right away, that's evil. That's a repayment, right? Your team stinks. No, your team stinks even worse. How many championships you got, you know? And those are just for the fun things, right?
Yeah.
Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all people. And here it is. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If possible, if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, choose to better every one of your relationships. And those relationships where you see people on a regular basis, beyond just the Lord's Day, but even that, is that in our small group ministries that you really are working hard in that, as well as the collective ministry. We're not a gigantic church, so we have an advantage to incorporate this game plan, right? Because it doesn't take me that long to get around 60 or 70 or 100 people. But I've got to choose, as far as it depends on me, to be at peace, shalom, with all people, right? And that's why we have the first part, and then we'll share communion at this point. Four things. We've got to choose to not to remember our failures or successes in a wrong way. Choose to surrender all grudges in our lives. Choose to better all my relationships. And choose to experience the freedom from chronic or besetting sins in my life. That's what Jesus came to make all things new about. Now, those are just four items. I know you can fill in a lot of things right there. But I like this as we head in to communion. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allowed it to each in a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in their serving. And the one who teaches, in their teaching. The one who exhorts, in their exhortation. The one who gives, with liberality. The one who leads, with diligence. The one who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality.
Jesus came.
He came to make all things new. And that's exactly what he does every day. So let's pray. Let's stand and pray for that in 2017 as we do communion together. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. May he shine his face upon you. May he be gracious to you. May grant you peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this life that we have with you. We know, Father, as we study, as we contemplate you, as we think about you, we are so grateful for your blessings, that you're always with us, Father, in failure, in success, in defeat or victory. You're always constant. You're not up and down as we are much of the time. And we thank you for your grace and your truth that you exercise in our life. We thank you for 2016, Father, for the good things that you did through all of your people here. The children who were served, the homeless that were served, Father, the weak, the outcast, the poor that were served, those that challenged, that were blessed with the ministry here of your brothers, of your children, all brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Father, for those who were touched by your gospel truth, we're thankful. Father, we're also thankful that you forgive us all our sins, all of our negligence, our
are belittling of you, ignoring you, or many times just drifting away from you. Father, thank you that you're always a constant in our life. As we share communion right now, thank you that we have the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ to continue to cleanse our minds and our hearts of guilty consciences. Father, not as anything but a great sacred act of worship here that we do. As we look forward to this new year that you give to us, Father, that, Father, you will do even greater things because we choose as a predominant way of our life, as the dominant way of our life, to be led by your Spirit, Father, as he leads us through Scripture, through lifestyle, through love, through vision, through passion, to do your will in our lives, in this earth, the way it's done in heaven. Father, as we choose to give ourselves to you right now during communion, Father, continue to transform us. For those who are still feeling and needing the comfort from your Son, may your Holy Spirit fill up their heart with all of his beautiful fruit and get them strong. Father, for our relationships, please strengthen them through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Our relationships with each other, our relationships with the lost, those who don't know you, with the weak, and with the strong. Father, may the body and the blood of Jesus Christ be a powerful act of worship to transform us, Father. For any sins, anyone who is beset with sins that is in bondage, Father, release them. Strengthen us to be able to be there for each other, to be humble and to become humble, Father. Make us that way before you. Thank you for the celebration that you give to us, Father. We long to experience that Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5 experience. We understand right now it's happening. Jesus said he makes all things new. Thank you for making us new every single day, Father. We thank you for the body and the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you in his name. Amen.